time now for the Stang Gang podcast featuring head football coach Bill Maskell of Midwestern State. And I'm hoping we can get the podcast off to the same kind of start that you guys got off to Saturday night. You opened that game with a 73-yard touchdown pass to Kylan Harrison. Did you know when you got to the stadium that you were going to throw a deep bomb to begin the game?
Yeah. I had asked Coach Morningway earlier in the week to go and chart the first play of the of every game they had played to see what defense they had shown. And it was right to do that. And we hadn't done that all year long. And so it ended up, if it had been covered or underthrown, sacked or something, probably wouldn't have been a good call. But as it turned out, it was a really good call.
Yeah, Ernie Zampezi, the one-time offensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys, said a good play is one that has a good result. And that certainly had a good result for you. How important was it to get off to that fast start against Western New Mexico?
Well, you know, we really hadn't been explosive big time since the Commerce and Angelo game. I mean, we were winning, but we were struggling winning. And then, you know, we played Tarleton that we discussed. I don't know that we were stale. We were just there. And so we felt like we had to jump start. And we needed to get some momentum for us. And obviously, that was what happened. I mean, it was a good start. You know, we scored on four great possessions. And four out of five possessions in the first half. So it was a good start all the way around on both sides.
Yeah, and it didn't take you long to get the first 21 for sure. You had that one play 73-yard drive, a five play 70-yard drive, a five play 89-yard drive, a lot of chunk plays of 20-plus yards. Offensively, what do you think leads to those big plays? Is it your preparation for a particular opponent or opportunity just presenting itself?
Well, in this case, we were the superior team, and we just tried to take advantage of it. No, I mean, I think on the second. In the second drive, 55-yard pass to Juwan Mason. I mean, he just ran a post route, and there was some motion over there, and they got confused as to who was covering who, and all of a sudden, you know, he breaks free. And then Dylan had good protection, and he really didn't launch the ball until he was, you know, over 40 yards down the field. So, I mean, we were just fortunate. I mean, the time that we hit in the second half when Kevontae Jackson went 72 yards, I mean, he popped out of nowhere. Jaden Moore got that little bubble outside.
Yeah.
And then just tiptoed the sideline, and I didn't realize he was that fast. You know, but, I mean, I think he had a couple scores, but. It was a big night for him, that's for sure.
It's interesting you say that. Do you find that there are some guys who, with the adrenaline of game day, that maybe are faster on game day than they show you in practice?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. You know, I don't think anybody tries to go slower in practice, but the incentive to go hard in practice is to be better prepared and be able to react and move faster on game day. I think there's probably a lot of players that are going to play better in game than they do in practice, but, you know, the only evaluation that you have on those guys is what they do in practice. Jaden has got really good hands. We knew that. And
So we're kind of excited about his growth and development
in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. We've talked about some of the explosive plays, but then you also had that incredible 18-play, 78-yard drive that took more than 8 minutes off the clock in the second quarter. That's kind of been what we've seen more of from Midwestern State this year, is those methodical drives where you keep the ball and move the ball downfield like that. And that ended with a Jalen March two-yard touchdown run. It's got to be nice to see those kind of drives and to consistently be able to put those kind of drives together.
Well, we've been fortunate that we've had several of them this year, as you mentioned, and there wasn't anything fancy about that. I mean, we converted, I think it was third and nine, we got 12. And it was third and one, we got one. And it was third and 10, we got 15. And it was third and four, and we got 11. And it was fourth and one, and we got one. I mean, it was just, we were ahead of the chains. And, you know, our kids, you know, we made the point that they had to be enthusiastic and we had to be better. And I think we responded.
How many times did you watch the Kylan Harrison kickoff return?
Yeah, that was crazy, wasn't it? I mean, just one of those nights. I mean, we didn't expect them to kick it deep. And then our front line was up at 11 yards because we were expecting, based on what they had shown, we were expecting them to squib it or to surprise onside. If you surprise onside, the kicker kicks it to himself and he dribbles it 10 yards and then falls on it. We were 13 yards back or so. This time we're sitting right up there at 10, right on the line to look for that. And then they kick it deep and we drop. And ironically, everybody, as Coach Aiken says, who handles the kickoff return team, is that we had a body on a body. And we missed one block and they showed up and then Harvey just took that guy and drilled him. And then Kylan juked and jived and run downfield. But when I saw it, and then he caught the ball over his head, you know, it didn't look like it was going to be what it turned out to be.
Yeah, he got to just across the 20, and I thought the return was going to die there. And somehow he escaped. He's become a really dynamic player for you, both as a receiver and a kick returner. What do you view as his strength as a player for you?
I think when the ball's in his hands, you know, he has the ability to make a play every time. He's shown that, you know, in some of the catches he's made and a short catch in the long run, kickoff returns. And, you know, he's doing really well with kickoff returns. And this is really, outside last spring, this is the first time that he's really majored in that. So I think he just, you know, he keeps getting better and better at it. And our, you know, the guys that we've got on the team are all, none of them, I don't think, that they've been on the team, you know, prior to this fall. And we felt like we were behind. And so we started every Monday night. After practice, we started practicing the fundamentals and techniques of those guys. And we missed one Monday night. I don't know which one it was. But this past week, again, this week, for the most every week this whole fall, we've taken about an extra 10 minutes and in a low-key drill, just getting those guys in position. Nothing fancy, and just get them in position and let them go attack and be aggressive. And I think the result is, you know, what you saw Saturday night.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about the defense, because you threw a shutout through the first three quarters of that game. And the defense is starting to play a lot better in the red zone now. early in the season that wasn't necessarily a strength, but over the years, I know that that really has been a strength of the Midwestern State defense. What's kind of your assessment of the team's defense to this point of the season going into these final two games?
Well, I think we're playing with a lot of confidence, and we're playing with a lot of aggression. And I think when you play with confidence and aggression, and, you know, just like Saturday night, I think we had two interceptions and two or three fumble recoveries.
Yeah, it's better to force 6 turnovers than to turn it over 6 times.
Is that what we got? We got.
I think you ended up with a +4, if I remember right. And yeah, you forced 6 turnovers in that game.
When you're playing aggressive, you know, you like to think those things are going to happen. And I just think that we're being really aggressive and they're playing fast. I think our whole team is playing fast. And, you know, it's fun to watch because how hard they are playing. I mean, the effort has been extremely good.
It's interesting when you say you're playing fast, because I always think of that as being a team that it's being smart, but they're not thinking out there. They know their assignment. It's instinctive, so that they're not slowed down by trying to think. It's a compliment to your coaching staff when you can see your team playing fast.
Well, I think that both sides of the ball, you know, they work the tails off, and coaches, and to try to be creative to do what you have to do to stop that offense that week or to beat that defense that week. And or in the kicking game as well. And, you know, our coaches are doing the things they have to do to make themselves better. And our players are playing at a high level. I mean, last week we didn't dress out, I'd say 8 or 10 guys that had been playing during the fall, earlier in the fall. For whatever reason, there was bunch of them that didn't dress. So we ended up playing with a lot of different guys that maybe weren't starters that ended up being starters and played good ball.
And you got a chance to play a lot of guys Saturday night. How important is that in terms of the next 2 weeks and just in terms of evaluating the players that you have on the roster?
Well, I think it's huge because every player on the team wants to get in the ball game, and not every player gets in every ball game. It all depends upon the situation and you know what position he plays and where he falls in the depth chart and what his strength is versus who we're playing. And but they practice just as much as the backups practice, just as much as the starters, and so. Anytime that you can play those guys to give them an opportunity to play, it creates a more competitive situation the following week because those guys got in it. And some of them did very well. So, you know, you like to reward kids when you're up by that much. And then there's that fine line. Do we, on offense in particular, you know, we wanted to continue to run our offense late in the game, and doing so, you know, we ended up, you know, throwing the ball somewhat, not a lot, but somewhat. But if you don't give those kids a chance to do that, and you just get real vanilla, then that kid, when and if the time comes where he is the next one up, it's not any value to him. So, you know, late in the game there, we had a good little drive going with the backups, and I think we took it on like the 28-yard line, took it all the way down to the water, and with all backups, and we couldn't put it in. You know, it would have been good to put it in for those kids because they work hard too. And if we scored, great. If we didn't score, that was okay, too.
You mentioned that you had eight or nine guys who didn't suit out Saturday. How close to full strength will you be for West Texas?
Close. Not sure exactly. We'll look at the injury report in the morning. Trainer tells us that we'll be close to full speed. Maybe some kids that got long term injuries won't be ready, but the other ones have got minor nicks and pain and bruises. Depending on the severity of it, they very well could all be ready.
Well, this is going to be a challenge. This is a West Texas team that's they're kind of hard to figure because they've kind of been a win one, lose one team over the course of this season. But when you look at the stats, first of all, they look like an offense that can put a lot of points on the board, and they've got great balance. They've thrown the ball and run the ball for almost the same amount of yards.
Yeah, they're. Let me get those stats out so I can. And it sounds like you've looked at them, and I have not. I have them. I've been in front of you, but I have not looked at them in terms of people talking.
So they've thrown for 1,720, and they've rushed for 1,754 this season.
Well, it starts with the quarterback. He's pretty good. And, they're averaging passing per game 191 and running 195 for what's that total of whole offense 386, which the standard has been lately in the last 4 or 5 years has been 500 yards. And 396 was 386 was 400 yards. I mean, that was really good a couple of years ago. But if we can hold somebody 386, those are high numbers. You'd still like to think you're doing pretty good. But I think the quarterback, this Gerber kid, is he's pretty good. He can run, although they have some called runs for him, but he's going to run, and he's like the third leading rusher on the team. I think he's averaging about 4 yards per carry, and he's had 5 touchdowns. He's had a long night at 39. He's not necessarily looking to run him, but he has good enough wheels where he can pull himself out of trouble, and then they run the combinations of zone reads, and he's able to pop, one or two here and there. So he's what makes him go. I think that solid tight ends. They're big and athletic, and I think their offensive line is big and athletic. They're not big like Tarleton or Angelo or Commerce, that 6'3", 350 or whatever. But they're tall and lean, and it would look like it. Something like guys that would fit our offense. And they do a lot of similar things offensively that we do. They got a couple of running backs that play pretty good. I think that they play hard, and they're very competitive. And, I think they're a good offensive football team.
As you get ready for this game, you mentioned that they run a similar offense to you. Does that help you in your preparation, or are you concerned that they're so similar to you that they're going to be well prepared to play against Midwestern State?
I can't answer that. They'll come out with a 3-by-1 formation, and that one being the tight end on the backside. We don't do much of that, but they do. They may put two by one and 2-by-2 with closed on the backside. Give you that extra blocker, but and then they're going to play with two tight ends and two wideouts. So we don't necessarily do a lot of that. But, you know, I see some similarities with what they do in a running game, what we do. And based upon formations and how they get to that run and what defense we have called, there are different fits in with the linebackers in the secondary. So those are usually the biggest thing. I mean, they're going to run the what we call, there's an outside run with a pin and pull game where they block down and pull the interior guard and center. They like that play. They like the counter play. They like the zone stuff. And we do all those same things. We just get it a little different way than what they do, or they get it a different way than we do. But, you know, we practice every day against ourselves. We spend, I'd say that we, one good, I'm good, they'll get 3, 6, 12, probably 20 plays a day of the 60 or 65 that we run. A third of the day is against our offense and defense. And sometimes we're servicing the offense, sometimes we're servicing the defense. And by that I mean that we're running 13 plays. And so we're seeing, you know, good on good, which I think is what makes you better. You know, the tougher the competition, the tougher the faster the look that you see, and the faster you're going to be. I mean, if we had enough bodies, I'd go one-on-one all the time.
Go ahead, Coach.
We just don't have enough to do that. I like the competition, one-on-one, two-on-two.
Defensively, what will we see from West Texas, and do you have to change anything offensively when you play them?
I don't think we'll change anything. Blocking schemes may be altered somewhat. They're going to play what I would call a 3-4 defense. And they're going to put a nose guard over the center, put two defensive ends over the tackles, head up. You don't see much of that. And they play some, so that's a three-man down lineman, and then they'll have two outside linebackers and two inside linebackers, and then they'll have, four secondary guys. And they do a lot of slant. And it reminds me of what they're doing, what growing up in the Midwest, what Michigan, Ohio State used to do years ago. And they would just line up heads up and slant, hard. And they'd bring the outside guy and slant him underneath the tight end. The guy's on the tackle would slant inside. The guy's nose guard would slant. And it's just, they're slanting every which way you can slant. And and out of that, they bring pressure from their linebackers. And, in watching the tape, they were much more aggressive against Commerce than they were Kingsville last week. And I think part of that was because, Kingsville was probably not the same caliber of team that Commerce is. And so they were very, very aggressive against Commerce. And, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're good, Coach. It's just interesting that you brought up the Commerce game, because that's one of the low-scoring games that they played this year. That was a 15-3 game.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to make a prediction, but do you think it's going to be that kind of – that seems like a real slobber knocker. Is that the kind of game we should expect this weekend?
Not sure. I think that their defense is, very good run defense. They're giving up run-wise. They're giving up 125 yards a game. I mean, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
And it's because of their scheme, and then they play hard. And, you know, I think I always believe that you got to run the ball better every week. You know, I think we ran it better last week, and we had a lot of big plays out of it last week. But, you know, we're going to have to be able to run the ball effectively. And I think we said last when we played them in 19, we got, you know, don't quote me exactly, but I want to say 79 yards rushing. Well, that puts pressure on the quarterback and protection. And, you know, when we run the ball, we've got to do a better job of running. And that is just the bottom line. And they're giving up 363 yards a game. And we're averaging probably 400 or so. So we still have to be able to throw the ball and throw it effectively without turning it over. I mean, that's the key. I mean, we saw that. If we had 6 turnovers last week and we put a lot of points on the board, it's the outcome is what happened. But the opposite of that is when we turn it over 6 times and we lose momentum, and then all of a sudden they gain momentum and we're behind 8-ball.
Do you think of West Texas as being a tough place to play?
You know, we've only played there once, and that was in 19 in the new stadium.
In the new stadium, which is, by the way, that's a really nice stadium they built.
Yeah, it's very nice, very nice. I think the way it's set up, it may not be as big as Tarleton's, but I think it's a better stadium than Tarleton.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think they have the best stadium in the Lone Star Conference now. I just really was impressed with their facilities when we went there a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's very nice. And that's what attracts kids to go there. You know, they're doing a good job of their facilities. You know, our goal was to have something like that here at one time, and still is. And I think that, you know, if you had a stadium on campus, then student body's going to be more involved. And, you know, kids that are staying in the dorm over the weekend, it's a lot easier to get to the game by walking to it than it is to, you know, have to get in a car and get on the traffic. And some kids would just our cafeteria stays open at 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, we go over there and eat after practice, and you see all kinds of kids coming in all kinds of times, you know, for there to eat. And a lot of kids would love to probably go to a game, but they don't have transportation or they just don't want to leave campus. And I'm sure that's the same thing with West Texas. They had the old stadium, which was, you know, a couple miles away, but this one's right in the middle of campus. So in answer to your question, the others, it might be hard to play up there just because of travel. I don't know. I mean, we've won some games up there, and we've lost some games. We played well up there, and we haven't played well up there. I think you've got to judge your team on who you have now and not what's happened in the past. And, you know, I don't know what kind of crowd they're going to have. 6 o'clock game, supposed to be good weather. You know, our concern is us. Let's go up and be the best we can be, and we'll deal with them when we get there.
Well, that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping you play well and win Saturday night, and if that happens, you've got a chance to clinch at least a share of the LSC title, so there's a lot on the line. It's a big game. We're looking forward to it, and we'll see you Saturday night in Canyon.
Sounds good, Pete. I appreciate you calling. Thank you.
Okay, that's Head Coach Bill Maskell, and you've been listening to the Spang Gang Podcast.